Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I want to talk about something that the devil uses as a tool and continue on with the second part of this to try to keep us from going where we need to go. Because everybody here has something they're headed towards, and I want you to know that the devil, one of his biggest arsenals that he has is distractions. That's what he wants to do. He wants to distract you from where you're going. And so as we talk about the huge problem of distractions and we talk about them, we've got to be made aware of them so we can identify them in their life when they come to attack us. Every one of us have been distracted from something we were trying to do, and you find yourself distracted, and then you find yourself not getting where you want to go. And so tonight, we want to continue on in this. If we were reminded of our distraction before we were distracted, wouldn't it kind of take some of the power out of the devil's punch? I mean, really, if that distraction came about and you realized that it was there to keep you from going where you need to go, that power would kind of be lessened. And so as we're visiting tonight, let's take some of the power out of the enemy's punch and say, you're not going to have victory here, devil. You're not going to distract me from what you have for me. Matthew 14, verse 25. We read this a couple weeks ago, and I'll probably read it every service we talk about distractions for the next few weeks, because I don't know a better passage of Scripture that points out distractions than this. Matthew 14, verse 25, about 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and in fear they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I'm here." Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Jesus said, "Come." "Yes, come." So Peter went out over the side of the boat, walked on water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified, began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. And then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first session of this. We talked about the first distraction that is thrown into our face a lot of time is a broken focus. If he can break our focus, then he's got a hand into getting our eyes off of where we're headed. And so that's one of the tools that the devil has in his arsenal to distract us, is to get our focus messed up. I like verse 30. Verse 30 is just a cool way of putting this. Jesus didn't say, well, here's what he said. Peter said, "Save me, Lord." And what Peter was saying, "Save me from," is because he saw the strong winds and the waves and he was terrified and he began to sink. But Jesus didn't say, "Come on, Peter, look at the waves and the wind." He didn't say that. He just said, "Come on," because when he said, "Come on," Peter's eyes were where? On him. And verse 30, after he said, "Come on," Peter gets out and then he starts looking at the winds and the waves. It's when he saw them, the winds and the waves, that he got messed up. But as long as his focus was where it needed to be, he was all right. When you have a broken focus, you sometimes lose where you're headed. Start sinking. See, when you're doing what God asks you to do, there will always be an opportunity to see something else. When you're doing what God asks you to do, there will always be an opportunity to see something else. I've got it on God. I've got it on Christ. Well, let me tell you, the distraction is there's always a wind and a wave. And when you get your eyes on that, you get distracted. And while we're on that, let me just repeat once again 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by... What did he see? He saw the winds and the waves and he lost his faith walk. It was faith. You just got to know this. You can't walk on water without some faith. And as I read this passage, one of the other things while we're just talking about faith, Jesus then said to Peter, "Oh, so little faith." Well, if he was walking in so little faith, his little faith was still enough to walk on water. Boy, I just need more faith. I want to tell you that it's very important, and quit hitting yourself over the head that you don't have enough faith. It was that little faith that he still walked on water with. And I just can't even imagine if the more faith would have, what would he have done? Would he have started flying? If he'd had the faith that, I mean, I don't know. I just sit there and I think about it. Oh, so little faith. He had enough faith to walk on water. That's kind of a big deal. And that's where we stopped. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. I want to continue talking about a broken focus and just give you some other examples. 2 Samuel verse 11, verse 1. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. And however, David, he decided to stay behind in Jerusalem. Now, everybody knows this story. I just wanted to kind of point out the first part of it. David stayed home while everybody else and the other kings went out to war. Why did David stay home? He didn't stay home to take a nap. I don't know. Why did he stay home? Maybe he did stay home to take. But what he did while he stayed home is he saw Bathsheba. I mean, everybody knows this story, and you sit there and think, well, why did David all of a sudden get messed up by seeing Bathsheba? And I got to tell you, I've always wondered about that, because not a lot of homes are in a place where you could see the roof of another building and see someone out there bathing. But when you're in Jerusalem and you start looking, you can see exactly how David saw what he saw. Because you're on hillsides and there's all these other homes, and he's out where he's not supposed to be. Well, why? He's at his house. What's the problem? He was supposed to be at war. See, all the other kings are at war, and David's not where he's supposed to be. Had you been in school that day, instead of skipping, that wouldn't happen. I mean, you can apply this to any area of life. If you'd have been at your kid's ball game, instead of sending your wife to the kid's ball game, and you stayed at work late, see, if you'd have been where you were supposed to be, a broken focus starts oftentimes when you're not where you're supposed to be. Now, it can happen right where you are, when you are where you're supposed to be, but know this, I want to be where I'm supposed to be. Why were you with these friends? You knew better. I love hearing, Mom, I didn't do that. They did it. Well, you were with them. You were with them. Yeah, but I didn't do anything. Yeah, but if you hadn't have been with them, you wouldn't have went to jail with them. See, when you find yourself in a place you weren't supposed to be, then you find yourself in a place that you didn't want to be. That just was a Holy Spirit download. I didn't even think about that. Just kind of came. You need to watch where you're at, or you'll find yourself real quick having a broken focus. And that's where it starts. Did God forgive David? Yes. But there was a long list of consequences when he was where he wasn't supposed to be. And know this, you'll have a long list of consequences when you are where you're not supposed to be. It doesn't matter how close or you really are to God. When you find yourself in a place you're not supposed to be, you'll watch your focus start changing. 1 Corinthians 10:12, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. I appreciate that you've been to church every Sunday. Peter began to sink when he was right next to Jesus. Because you never get so close that a distraction can't be life-changing. Are you hearing that tonight? Just want to make sure you get that. Proverbs 4:25, look straight ahead, fix your eyes on what lies before you, mark out a straight path for your feet, stay on the safe path, don't get sidetracked. Let me give you another word for sidetracked. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. You got to be aware of those distractions. I want to go into the second distraction tonight, which is really what I want to talk about. Second distraction that I'm going to be visiting about is people. 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 Let's go back to Peter in the boat. Peter's in the boat. They all think they saw a ghost. And then he says, whoa, don't be afraid. Have some courage here. It's me. And that's what Jesus says. And so Peter then goes, hey, if it's really you, what he's saying is, I'm not 100% sure. I know what you just said, but I'm not really sure. You know, a lot of people will hear the word and it was Jesus speaking, but they go, I don't really know if that was him or not. Well, what did Peter do? Tell me to come. If that's you, I'm going to put some feet to this. Now, here's what you don't read and what I have heard mentioned by pastor after pastor after pastor. And I know this isn't something that you can read, but you can make some assumptions here because Peter is the only one that got out of the boat. He's the only one that, well, Peter sank. He's the only one that got out of the boat. Now, all I can tell you is, what were the other 11 doing? I don't know. But I can imagine. Did you see Peter? What's he thinking? There he goes. There he goes again. He just thinks he's all that. Or, Peter, get back in here. What are you thinking? All I know is there's always someone, when you hear from God and you get a word from God and you say, God, if it's you, tell me. And I was scared, but you gave me some peace and now I'm headed out of that boat. There's always someone going, you shouldn't be doing that. And here's the thing. I'll call them boat people. There's always some boat people that's always either making fun of you, that's either talking behind your back, or that's telling you, you better stop. You better quit. What are you thinking? You're going to sink. Yep, there you go. You start sinking. See, Peter, we told you. But then Jesus is right there reaching his hand out. I'd still rather be Peter than the other 11 in the boat. I think that everybody here would go, yeah, me too. But the thing is, as that was going on and different things were happening, I want you to get the picture here. Even though you don't read this, you can know there were 11 people wondering what was going on because Peter was the only one that got out. Can we make that assumption out of Scripture? I'm sure I think we can. So he was listening to Jesus. He wasn't listening to 11 people who were right next to him. Now, all I can tell you is I don't read any scripture before that where anyone else walked on water. You know why Peter wasn't listening to the 11? I got to be real careful as I explain this. Because none of them had done it. And there are times that God calls you to do something that you can't find anybody else to say, yeah, I've done that before. But I want you to know that's why those are miracles and they're far and few between. Most of the time there are people who has already done that and has already been on that walk and has already experienced that, and you can go to them and you can get some real wisdom. And so when I say don't listen to boat people, I'm talking about people who have no fruit in their life. So you got to hear what I'm saying. You do have to have wise counsel. Just don't get wise counsel from someone who don't have wisdom in that area. There's no reason to get marriage advice from someone who's been through 7 divorces and just got their 8th one. There's no reason for that. I can tell y'all what not to do. Yeah, but you sure can't tell me what to do. See, but they're going to start telling you everything. And all I can tell you is, and I'm not going to turn around and say, you boat person, shut up. Not going to say that. But I'm going to realize that as much as they're going to yell advice and they're going to throw advice out, I got to see some fruit. I got to see some wisdom before I'm going to sit here and submit to that. What if Peter had submitted to the other 11? And we got a bunch of people in life submitting to people who have never been anywhere before, and they're trying to give advice on something they don't know. And I'm telling you, when I don't know, I try to be real careful to say, I don't know. I've read about this, and here's what I see here. And I mean, just with parenting, I'm going to tell you, I've got some pretty good advice on how to raise some girls. But when it comes to boys, I'm not real good there. What do you mean? I thought you teach parenting. I do, and a lot of it's from the book where it comes for boys. And I've got some advice and some wisdom from other people, and I will give them the credit. And I've watched other parents raise some great boys, and I ask them questions. And so I do have some information to care, but I don't have the advice of personal experience. See, so there are times that you've got to understand that when you're needing help, you better go to someone who can really give you some help. And first and foremost, that's Jesus, obviously. And you know, if anybody, and I didn't read about it, it may have happened since, and we just don't have record of it, but if anybody ever rode in a boat with Peter after that, what were they saying? If the winds and the wave were going and Peter was in the boat, I bet they're like, Peter, what do you think? I'm just telling you, if I'd be on the Sea of Galilee and Peter's sitting beside me in the boat, I'd say, come on, man, let's try it. Why? Because Peter had already done it. He had some wisdom in that area. Man, you're going to have to keep your eyes on Jesus. You'll start sinking. You better understand. And we better get a word from God before we head out over the boat. See, I mean, I'm saying he'd just have some real advice for me, wouldn't he? That's the way I look at it. Let me ask you this. Who's giving you financial counsel? Someone broke? Someone broke giving you financial counsel? You might want to think twice. Who's giving you marriage counsel? Who's giving you parenting counsel? Check their fruit. See, you got to understand or hear what they're saying and say that's what they learned from someone else who had some real wise. Peter doesn't need to go asking his besties. That's not what he called them, and that's not what I call best friends either. That's what young people, girls, my bestie. Is that old news now? It was 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, that's my. Anyway. Friends at times will keep you from doing what you need to be doing. Young people, hear me today. Friends will oftentimes keep you from doing what you need to be doing. And sometimes you may not recognize that. Praise God, that's why you got parents. Friends will have you in places you don't need to be. And I'm not saying not to have friends. I'm just saying be careful that your friends don't get into a position that Jesus wants to be in. Every day in some area, every one of us are going over the side of the boat. So let's make sure we can take this story and bring it to where we operate. I mean, I want to talk to someone who's already walking on water, someone who's already stepped out and faced that risk. It's just a lot, more wise in how I operate. And then I see the fruit a lot quicker. The world is full of people that want to give advice that have never done what they're given advice to do. It's just full of people like that. They're going to tell you what and how to do and what they've not done or what they will never do. I'd never do that. Well, there ain't no doubt that you'd never do that because you haven't. I tried that and that never has worked for me. You got my ear. Especially if you then say, and here's what I tried and it did work. That's when I'm all in. Mark 6, verse 2. Mark 6. Y'all still with me? The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. Hey, that's the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. His sisters live right here. Remember him? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. The third thing, and I want to just get into the start of this tonight. The third thing that will be a major distraction for us is an offended heart. An offended heart. And I want you to see this right here because it really does grieve my heart. The number of people who needed a miracle right there, and they couldn't get it because they were deeply offended. that they couldn't get it. Deeply offended people never get what they could have had. You can just write that down. Deeply offended people never get what they could have had. If you are offendable, let me break that word up. If you are offendable, if you are offendable, you will be. At some point, you've got a purpose in your heart. Well, how am I going to get? You just have to purpose in your heart that I'm going to get rid of offense. And the Lord will help you, but it's going to be a choice you make. Because sooner or later, you're going to get your feelings hurt. And I'm just telling you, you're going to be mad and you're going to be offended. If you are offendable, if you're a person who is offendable, you will never achieve what is put on your heart to do. I know that doesn't make perfect English sense, but you're getting it. See, because you'll get offended and you'll stop right before your miracle. You'll stop right before that supernatural move of God. Sometimes I have read stories of people, and I've got a couple of them that I almost shared. They're not personal stories. They're stories of big companies that got offended. McDonald's is one of them. So I'll just say that one at the beginning. Someone started a business. People don't buy or like your product, or they want to change the way you're doing it or something. And you get mad at anyone who has a better idea than what you had. You're in trouble. So you got offended. Next thing you know, you're not open to something that could have made one of the biggest franchises in all of history. And if you read the story of McDonald's, you'll find that it was started by two brothers, and they got highly offended because someone came in and had a great idea to make them a franchise and expand. And no, we can't do that. We can't do that. Well, the end of the story is the other guy had a lot better idea. Now, he did some bad things in doing it and blah, blah, blah. I'm not here. But I'm just telling you, he had an idea that took them to a place that those two couldn't. And so those two never went with him to all that the starters of that whole thing didn't get. What the guy who came in and said, because they got offended. And I just want you to see that oftentimes in business, you get mad because someone's not buying your product. You get mad because something is going on. You start sinking because you're offended. And I can't do this. The number of people who God told to go to a church, I'm telling you, it's astounding. And I'm not talking this church. I'm talking to a church anywhere. The number of people who God told to go to a church, someone offends them, and then they're never in church again is astonishing. I meet them all the time. You said God put you in that church, and now your feelings are hurt. What happened? You're choosing your offense over the place God told you to be. I don't care how you look at it. You're choosing an offense over where God said you needed to be. There is no doubt in Scripture that God has commanded us to be in his house. I mean, his connection, Jesus is with the church. Well, I don't go to church. You might want to, and I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're all here. But know what I'm saying. Everybody knows someone like that. That their offense became more important to them and gave them direction other than what God told them to do. You can't let offense give you direction. Let me also say it like this. Someone here can take on an offense because someone else is looking for a church and then they go somewhere else. And then you're offended that they did something. See, it's the same thing. Staff, anyone else, getting offended that someone else might choose another church. You got to watch either side of that. Because it'll get you. Offense. It's the same thing in business. It's the same thing in friends and in life. Come on, you get your dream job, and then someone offends you at work. And I ain't going in today because I'm offended. That offense leads you to eventually being fired or quitting. And then you're frustrated because you don't have a job. Well, you just let offense give you direction. I want you to hear this. See, sooner or later, your best friend will say something you didn't want them to say. I'm just telling you, it'll happen. And then you end up having no friends because all of them have offended you. All of them have made you mad. You got to guard offense so that you're not led by your offenses. You got to be led by God. Come on. You got to be led by God. You can't be led by your offense. Don't quit your job or your church or your school over offense. People quit their vision of where God called them to be because a distraction of offense came in. And we got to watch that distraction. It's a big deal. Never let offense make a decision. You can just write that down. Never let offense make a decision. You can't afford the cost. It's too much. You'll never have a lasting job or a friendship. And there's a lot of people who just live from one offense to the next. I mean, you can ask them, so what's going on? Well, I got really mad about this. And then every time you talk to them, they're just talking about their last frustration. This is my last frustration. Does anything ever go good in your life? I mean, sometimes you want to say, because all I ever hear is all the people you're frustrated with or all the situations you're frustrated with. One crisis to the next, one offense to the next. And before long, you find that person going, I hate my life. I don't like anything about it. I'm miserable. Well, what happened? They let a distraction take them. That distraction took them. We talk about this, and we've talked about this here a few weeks ago in Leaders Academy. People expect God to do something that he doesn't do. And then you get people frustrated at God and quit serving him because their expectation was for him to do something, and they didn't do it exactly the way they thought he should, and so then they quit serving him. That's not going to work for you. When something happens, you have an emotion that comes up based on what happens. And I get that. And let me just, God says, here's where you go. And so what do? I go. And I'm going. And I'm going. And I'm going. And I'm going. And then something happens in the middle of that I didn't like. And I get offended. Does that change what God said to do? We don't want an emotion or an offense or anything else coming over here and giving direction when God already said this is where I'm going. I can't let offense stop me. I can't let what I'm seeing stop me. The only way direction is established is through faith and through fruit. Faith and fruit. That's it. Directions established one of those two ways. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we can't hear our direction unless we're able to hear the word, and the word is what will allow us to hear the direction. So when we get that, then faith allows direction to come for me. The other thing that allows direction to come for me is fruit. Well, my fruit? No, I don't have it yet. Someone else's that I see is, and when you can marry those two, you can watch the word start coming real, and you can watch the application of wisdom start coming real, because the Bible's real clear, and that will give me my direction. I'm going to hear from God because I got to hear from God. And then I'm going to do everything I can to find someone who's heard from God in a similar area, and I'm going to find the fruit so that I can move that direction. That's just where I'm at. The fruit's got to be there, or we can't. And what I'm saying is, I'm saying myself, but that's what we all need to be doing as Christian people, getting our direction from God. Here's what happens. When you have only one of those, you're in trouble. What do you mean? People that say, well, I know I heard from God, and then they find themselves in a ditch. There is safety in a multitude of counsel. But if your counsel is a bunch of people who don't have faith, we've still got a problem. But when you operate only by faith and everybody else says, the thing is, people will say, well, Pastor, didn't you start a church at the end of a dirt road? And a lot of people said, I wouldn't do that. A lot of people did. But those people never started a church at the end of a dirt road. See, so I didn't use fruit there, but I found some people who did do something that was totally different than what the norm did, and I had some wisdom and some fruit there, and I had the power of God over, and those two things combined, all of a sudden some wisdom came from the same people who I'd watched that faith walk in, and I married those two things. Next thing you know, a church is established. So I want you to understand that I don't want to just be preaching something that doesn't work. This works. And all through Scripture you find this. Paul was given direction to the church all the time, given direction to the church. If he was just, if they only needed to hear from God, then why did Paul ever open his mouth? So we'd have the word. They didn't see that as the Bible at that time. They saw it as Paul's writings. That's what the church got, was Paul's writings. Now, he was being a messenger from God, but it was still Paul. There are a lot of people who have been a messenger from God for me. How about you guys? I mean, you can say the same thing, can't you? A lot of people have been a messenger from God. Be careful that you don't arrive at a conclusion on your direction just based on people. But be careful that you have people that help you arrive at your faith conclusion. Are you seeing both? There's got to be a balance, though. There's got to be a balance. Here's what God's speaking. Here's what God's speaking. Great. Then test that. Try that. And go see if that doesn't work. Because that's what God says all through. Try this. Try this. And see if it don't work. Try. It'll work. It'll work. If God mandated it and it's his promise, it'll work. But get some people that you've seen it happen and they have the fruit there. Y'all get that tonight?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.